coming out this evening, and don't forget tomorrow night to bring your friends. And remember, if you haven't taken a look at the things downstairs, take a look at the prizes for the points. And then remember, if you have a question on how to find the places in the Bible and you know how to read, stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Or you may have a question on tonight's story or a question how to get to heaven. If you do, we'll be glad to help you. You come up front afterwards. And tomorrow night, most of the questions will be on tonight's lesson. We have now come to the fifth feast, which is recorded in Leviticus chapter 23. It is known as the Feast of Trumpets. Now, once again, I want to say tonight that when we talk about the Feast of the Lord, they are primarily for the Jews or for the Israelites. However, it is true that we can have applications from them for ourselves. We don't want to take all of the blessings in Scripture and leave the Jews all the curses. Oftentimes people do that. So we have to understand that these feasts are, first of all, primarily for the Jews. They were joyous occasions for which they gathered at where the Lord met with them. Now, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets is explained quite well in Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall blow, And they that are ready to perish in Assyria, and the outcast in Egypt shall come and worship at the holy mount in Jerusalem. Now that's what the Feast of Trumpets is about. Because the day is going to come, and I believe that the Feast of Trumpets is going to blow when the feet of the Lord Jesus touch this earth. And when his feet touch this earth, that's going to be the starting of the blowing of the trumpet. I don't believe that it's going to be the same time as the rapture, like many people teach. Because you see, the rapture is for us. And that is going to come any time now. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ could appear in the clouds, in the air, any time now with that shout. And that verse that we find in Thessalonians where it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Now that's the rapture. That's the trumpet that we are listening for. But it's not the same trumpet. No, the trumpet that the children of Israel are listening for is for that great trumpet that will be blown, which will gather them out of the land of Assyria, those who are ready to perish, and the outcast who are in Egypt. We, on the other hand, at this present time, are listening for the shout when he's going to come in the air. Now, between the two, there's going to be the time of tribulation. Yes, there's going to be the tribulation period that will come after we go home to be with the Lord. And again tonight, my friends, I want to say to you, you need to be ready when this shout comes. Because when the Lord comes in the air, only those who have died in Christ, there'll be the resurrection from the dead, not all of the dead, just the resurrection who died believing in the Lord God. And those who remain on this earth, who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we're going to be caught up to meet Him. And then there's going to be 7 horrible years on this earth. Let me tell you again, now is the time of salvation. If you understand what it is to be a sinner, if you understand what it is that Christ died for your sins, and if you understand that the way to get saved is by taking the gift of salvation, during the tribulation period, you won't get saved if you reject Him now. Because strong delusions will come upon you, and you will not receive Him as Savior then. And for that matter, those who get saved during the tribulation period, after the rapture, they will have to endure unto the end. It will be a horrible time for them. Yes, on this earth, most of those believers will be martyrs. They will die for their faith. So again, I want to say, now is the time for salvation. Yes, we're listening for that shout. We're listening for the Lord to come. And He could come anytime right now. And then we find also that in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, there we read that they were to make 2 trumpets out of silver, but from the same piece of silver. And these trumpets were used to call the children of Israel to worship, to walk. When the cloud lifted, then these trumpets were blown, and they would follow the cloud. And they were also used to call them to war. Now, a bugler could not be a bungler. Oh, no. He had to give the right kind of sound. Because when he called or blew the trumpet, they would have to know what the call was for and to do immediately what it called for. Now, the children of Israel, you probably know, did much by the way of the trumpets. When the law was given, remember there was an earthquake, and there was lightning, and there was thundering given. And during that time, the trumpets blew. You'll also remember that when the children of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho, that the trumpets blew. And on that last time around, on the 7th day, the walls came tumbling down. Now it's true that in their history, they also not only used silver trumpets, but they used the ram's horns, which gave a very solemn sound. But the silver trumpets were given during the time of their celebration. And they used the trumpet also, you'll remember, during the time of Gideon. For Gideon's 300 men that were with him were told to blow the trumpet when he did. And you'll remember again that the Lord delivered the Midianites into their hands. And then, of course, many times in the Word of God, you can read how the trumpets were blown for war, and God gave them tremendous victory. Now, it's interesting to notice that these trumpets that are talked about in Numbers chapter 10 are made out of silver. There's 2 of them, but they're both made out of the same piece of silver. And silver in the Word of God speaks to us of redemption. Yes, every night we've been singing that song, redeemed. We've been bought by the blood of Christ. Yes, silver speaks of redemption. And there was 2 trumpets, not just 1, but 2. And they're both made out of the same piece of silver, which is very significant. Because, you see, they both gave the same message. The one trumpet could speak of the Old Testament. The other trumpet could speak of the New Testament. And you see, when you read the Old Testament, starting from the book of Genesis, going all the way through Malachi, the message is that we are redeemed by the blood. And if you read the New Testament, starting in Matthew and going all the way through Revelation, the message is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the very last book, the main thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, to know that you're bought by His blood. And so that's the message that the trumpets give. In the New Testament or the Old Testament, it makes no difference. The message is we need to be under the blood. And if you know Christ as Savior, then you're trusting in His blood for your salvation. Now, I want you to notice that it was the priest that did the blowing. And you know, they were to notify the people. Do you know today that we are the priests? Yes, the Jewish people failed to be the testimony that God wanted them to be. And so today, if you come to know Christ as Savior, then you are to be a priest from the royal priesthood to show forth the marvelous things that He has done for us. Yes, we are to declare His words. We find in Peter that not only are we holy priests that we should come and worship, but we are also royal priests to show forth the marvelous things that He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Yes, we've been called out of darkness. And so as priests, we should tell others too how they can come out of darkness and they can come to the light. Now, that's what our message is today. And during this century, it's been very interesting to notice that the children of Israel are returning to the land of Israel, but in blindness. Yes, they are going back to Israel. The trumpet hasn't blown yet. It's going to blow, but yet they're going back to the land. Now, my artist suggested, and I went along with that idea, that we should have an airplane bringing the people into the land. Because that's what this feast is all about. The feast is about the fact that the children of Israel are going to come into Israel. And here you see a plane arriving with the people coming off the plane. They're coming into the land. And during the 20th century, more have returned than any other time in the history of Israel. They're going back to the land. Now, when the Feast of Trumpets is blown, they're going to come. How they're going to come exactly, I don't know. It may be that they will come in a miraculous way to get there. But the people will arrive in Israel. Yes, they'll come back to the land of promise. Now, the Lord Jesus, when He was here on this earth, He spoke the word and He said to the disciples, I want you to lift up your eyes onto the fields. And the fields are the world. And they're white already unto harvest. Yes, the Lord said to the disciples, lift up your eyes onto the fields. These fields that are white. Now, when fields are white, when the grain is white, it's overripe. And that's the way it is, said the Lord. For don't say there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. I say to you that now is the time. The fields are already ripe, ready for harvest. So lift up your eyes onto the fields. At this time, my friends, before this trumpet calls for us that we're listening for, we're not looking for signs. We're looking for Him. We need to be lifting up our eyes onto the field to see what the Lord would have us to do, what He would have us to say, where He would have us to go. And not only do we find that it says to lift up your eyes and see the need, but then we need to lift up our hearts and pray. Now, tonight in this room, there might be someone who's sitting right next to you that is praying for you. They're praying for you. That's why they brought you to these meetings tonight. Because they want you to get saved. They want you to come to know Christ in a personal way. Some weeks ago, a young man that was about 17 years of age came to me
after the meeting and with tears in his eyes, and he said, "You know, Uncle Dave, I want you to pray for my grandmother and her sister. This is the first time that they have ever been out to a church meeting since the time that my grandmother got married. And I'm praying that she will get saved." I was so glad for that young man that was concerned about someone that was not saved. One of his loved ones. He didn't want to see his grandmother die and go to hell. You know, there's people here tonight that are praying for you. We need to be concerned for the lost. I wonder, are you? Are you? If you claim that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, right now, during this time, before that Feast of Trumpets is blown, it's still our opportunity to share the good news to those we come in contact with. And I suppose there is somebody maybe sitting right next to you who's praying that you will get saved. And then the Bible says also that we need to lift up our feet. Not only do we need to lift up our eyes, and not only our heart, but we need to lift up our feet and go and tell. You see, tonight in this room, you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. Now, which are you? You know. I don't know. You are either a missionary telling others about the Lord, or you're a mission field that people need to speak to you about the things of God. Which are you? A missionary or a mission field? And then we also need to lift up our hands and give. Now we need to give prayerfully and intellectually. Yes, ask God for wisdom as how to give. There are people all over who are begging for money. And there's people on the radio, on the television, and we get mail. Oh, we get lots of mail where people are begging for money. But we need to pray that the Lord would give us guidance in how to give to those who are really doing a work for the Lord. For the harvest is going to be taken. Yes, Christ the first fruit, then every man in his order. And those of us who know Christ as Savior, we're going to be in the harvest. We're going to be taken up when that shout comes. And then the times of the Gentiles will be over. Yes, the times of the Gentiles are coming to a fast end. And when the times of the Gentiles are over, then everything is going to be focused on Israel again. Yes, the nations are going to be taken up with Israel. And during the next 7 years, there's going to be a horrible time on the earth. And because the fact that Israel is going to be chastened, all of the other nations are going to suffer as well. And it's going to be very dark for them. It's going to be a horrible time. And I trust that none of you are left behind. Oh, if the Lord would come tonight, it's not going to be the end of the world. But then, there's going to be these 7 horrible years. And if you don't know Christ the Savior, you will be left behind. Now, it's always darkest before the dawn. And for Israel, they will feel that the Lord has totally forsaken them, because all of the nations are going to be against them. But you see, it's a very interesting thing that the Lord is going to come as the bright and morning star. It's most interesting as you start the New Testament, because there we find Christ born, and the wise men come and say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." So in Matthew, we see his star, but in Revelation, the last book in the New Testament, we see him as the bright and the morning star. Yes, he's going to come as the bright and morning star. And as far as Israel is concerned, they're not forgotten. Oh no. God made tremendous promises to them, and they are not forgotten. Yes, they are going to be disciplined, they are going to be chastised, but they will not
be forgotten. I like the verse that's found in the book of Isaiah where it says, can a woman forsake her suckling child? Yes, she can do that. We read of that in the newspapers. We hear about it on the television, how that mothers forsake their babies. But the Lord says, I will never forget thee. What a tremendous promise that is. Yes, Israel has been given that promise that they will never be forgotten. I like the New Testament a promise too, where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, I like that verse because whether you read it backwards or frontwards, it says the same thing. Backwards it says, you forget nor thee leave, never will I. And here you can read this backwards. Thee forget, never will I. I will never forget thee. Thee forget, never will I. And the Lord goes on to say, I have engraven you upon the palms of my hands. There we have Israel engraven on the palms of the hands of the Lord. Oh, I like the New Testament too, where it says to us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once you're in, you're in. It's a great thing to know that he's holding on to us. Sometimes people get the idea that we're holding on to him. But the truth is that he is holding on to us, and we're in the palm of his hand. Oh, I trust tonight that you know that. And once you know Christ as Savior, you're his forever. And so we're listening for that shout, for we're going home to be with him. Now, just to make it a little clearer to you, I made up a chart with the two stages of the second coming. And I want you to take a look at this that may help you a bit. The first stage, the Lord Jesus comes as the Son of God. That's his title. We call it the rapture. He comes for his saints to the air. And what he's going to do at that time, he's going to reward his saints. He's going to receive a bride. We, if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, are the bride of Christ, and only the saints see him. Now, the second stage is going to take place afterwards, after the tribulation. And here we find that he is coming as the Son of Man, for that's his earthly title. And when he comes, it's going to be a revelation. He's going to be revealed, and all will see him. But notice, here he comes for his saints. Here he comes with his saints. What an exciting time that's going to be for us, because we're going to come with him. When he comes here on the earth and they will recognize who he is, we, the believers, will be with him. Now, many believers don't take in the thought that there's rewards and there's positions during this time. Yes, for us as believers, there's positions for us. And then it says here, he's going to come to the air. But here, he's going to come to the earth. Now, that's the big difference. And when he comes to the earth, this is when I believe that the Feast of Trumpets is going to take place. Here, he rewards his saints. Here, he punishes his enemies. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about some of that when he comes. And if for the believers, of course, we're not going to have our sins brought up. Our sins have been settled at the cross. It's been all done when you put your trust in the blood of Christ. But when he comes on the earth, he's going to punish his enemies. Here he receives a bride. Over here he receives a throne. Here only saints see him. But on this stage, every eye will see him. Yes, everyone will see him when he comes and his feet touch this earth. Well, you see, the Word of God makes it very clear for us that what we need to do is occupy until he comes. We need to keep busy for him. That's our challenge. Our challenge is occupy till he comes. Our comfort is this, that we shall be like him. I like that verse where it says, every man that hath this hope, every man that hath this hope within him, every man that hath this hope. Well, I gotta quote that. I gotta look that up too. Sorry about that. It's just left me. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3. What is the hope that we have? It's the hope that we are going to be like him. Yes, that is our tremendous comfort. Our challenge is occupy till he comes. But our comfort is that we shall be like him. We shall be conformed to the image of his dear son. Now, the last book of Revelation, chapter 22, and in verse 7 it says, behold, I come quickly. In verse 12 it says, behold, I come quickly. And in verse 21 it says, behold, I come quickly. Three times over in the last chapter it says, behold, I come quickly, and we need to occupy until he comes. Now, the first time when it talks, behold, I come quickly, it says, walk in the light. Jesus Christ is the light. This, then, is the message that we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we walk in the light and have no fellowship with him, we lie. If we say that we walk in the light and we don't fellowship with him and we sin, we are liars. But we find if we walk in the light, if he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's most interesting where the word of God says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Jesus said these words, the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds shall be reproved. Now what the light does, it exposes us. Yes, the Lord Jesus knows all about you. He knows all about me. Yes, Jesus said, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so the first time in Revelation chapter 22, when we read that the Lord said, behold, I come quickly, we are to walk in the light. Now the second time when it says, behold, I come quickly, we find that what we are to do is to work. Now, good works will never, never save you. You can't do good works to get to heaven. But after you get saved, you need to do good works. And here, I have a woman who is a missionary. There, she is a missionary to a mission field, sharing the word of God with this person that's sick. Yes, you see, we need to do good works. We need to occupy until he comes, because he's going to come quickly. Right now, you need to be doing something for the Lord if you belong to him. Because you see, when we get to glory, it's going to be a case that it's going to be rewards. The rewards are going to be given out. The positions are going to be given out. And it's according to what we have done while we're here. In the glory, there's going to be no need of the light, for he is the light. And in the glory, when we get to heaven, the crown and the reward, the position, will be given out. And then we find that the last time in Revelation chapter 22, when it mentions, "Behold, I come quickly," it's in reference to keeping the word. Yes, keep in the word. I would say that the biggest problem that most believers have is they don't spend time alone in God's word every day. You need to do that. If you come to know Christ the Savior, you need to spend time in God's word. And if you've never started something, I would like to suggest that you start in the book of Mark. It's the easiest book to read. It's the fastest moving book with so many different stories. And it's written at a third grade level. That doesn't mean that it's simple. That just means that it's easier to understand, but it's also very profound. But you will find that the book of Mark is a good place to start. Because you see, the day is going to come, and when he comes, the Bible says again, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. How important it is for us to get into the word of God. I trust tonight, if you know Christ the Savior, that you are making it a habit to be in God's word. Now, speaking of the word of God, the book is closed to the Jews or the Israelites today. It's a closed book, and it was the Lord who closed it to them. You'll remember, because they rejected Jesus Christ as the Passover, because they rejected him as the Passover lamb and the one who died for their sins. One day, the Lord Jesus was talking to them from Isaiah chapter 61 in the synagogue and told them why he came. And then he closed the book. But where the Lord Jesus closed the book is the same place where he is going to open it. And the very next phrase says that the day of the vengeance of the Lord our God is come. Yes, the book is going to be opened at the day of vengeance or the day of judgment. Yes, that is going to come. And that's where it will start again with the children of Israel, but we will be gone. The rapture will have taken place, but then God is going to work with his people again. That's why we like the vision of Ezekiel chapter 37, where it talks about the dry bones rising. Yes, once again, the valley of dry bones, as we find there, is going to come alive. And then, as we find in Ezekiel chapter 48, it talks about how that each tribe is going to receive its inheritance. Now, Israel, the promised land, is still the land of promise. You see, up till this time, all they ever have received is 30,000 square miles. But God has promised to them approximately 300,000 square miles. They only have received one-tenth of what God wanted to give them. And in Ezekiel chapter 48, we find out how that each tribe is going to get their portion. Now, many people will tell you that 10 of the tribes are lost. Well, they might be lost to man, but they're not lost to God. God knows where those 10 tribes are. And the day is coming when that feast begins, that they will receive again, at that time, their land. They will get the land that was promised to them, and it's recorded in Ezekiel chapter 48. Now, Isaiah and Joel, who are two of the prophets, they talk about the trumpet that is blown. Isaiah chapter 58 tells us that when the trumpet is blown, that it will be a trumpet that will awaken them. Oh, they will be awakened all. Because when the Lord's feet touch this earth on the Mount of Olives, the mountain is going to split. And they're going to recognize that the Lord has come to save them. And they're going to run into that valley where the mountain splits, and they'll be protected by the Lord. They will look on him whom they have pierced. They will be awakened to the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that was their Messiah. They'll know that very, very clearly. Now in Joel chapter 2, when that trumpet blows, it will be a trumpet of alarm. Oh, they'll be alarmed, all right. Because for the next 10 days, what they're going to do is they're going to afflict their souls, and they will mourn like they have never mourned before. Oh, they will know, all right, that this one was their Messiah. And then going back to Isaiah chapter 37, there we read that they will be assembled. Yes, when that trumpet blows, and it will blow all at the same time, the first thing that it will do is awaken them, then it will alarm them, and then it will assemble them. And as I said, how they will get into the land, I'm not exactly sure. Many of them are coming in by airplane right now. They may come, the balance of them, by a miraculous way, but they will be assembled in the land. Now, Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37 is also very interesting in this here time. For in Ezekiel 36 and 37, the first thing that we notice is that they're, and I want to give you words beginning with R, they are regathered. That's the first thing. They are regathered from all over. And then the second thing, they are reinstated. They're going to be given the portion that God has promised to them. And then the third thing, they're going to be reunited. I suppose that most of you who know your Bible somewhat remember that Israel was a divided kingdom. There were 10 tribes to the north, 2 tribes to the south. But in this coming day, when the Feast of Trumpets is going to be blown, they're going to be reunited. They're going to be one kingdom. When the Lord sets up his kingdom on this earth, it's going to be one kingdom. Yes, and he is going to sit on the throne of David, and the kingdom will be reunited. They'll be regathered, they'll be reinstated, they'll be reunited, and they also will be regenerated. Spiritually, they will be regenerated. Yes, here we find that the nation of Israel will come back to the promised land. Now today, fellows and girls and men and women, Israel is like sheep scattered all around the world in all different parts. But when the Feast of Trumpets takes place, it's after the rapture. When it takes place, Israel is going to come home to the promised land. And the Lord is the shepherd that is going to bring them home. Oh, what a tremendous thing, because that's the job of the shepherd, to bring his sheep home. You know, we can claim that promise too. We can say tonight that if the Lord is my Savior, then I can say the Lord is my shepherd. And I like that verse in Psalms 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you truly say that tonight? Can you really say that the Lord is your shepherd? If you know him as Savior, you can say that. And then the last verse goes on to say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you? Are you sure that you will dwell in the place that he's prepared for you? Or if you have never come to know him, tonight I'm asking you to stay behind. Come up front. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the fact that you're still one who is seeking sheep that have gone astray. And I pray that there might be one here that will come home. Come home tonight. And we ask that you'll give them courage to stay behind so that we can talk with them and pray with them. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.